Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 this morning. Colossians chapter 2. Look, if you would, beginning at verse 1. Paul writes to the church here of Colossae, and he writes, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of all the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, enjoying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, and vain deceit, and after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, again for your word. And Lord, I just pray this morning to open our ears to your word this morning, Lord, and help us to understand really what the Christian walk is all about. Lord, so many people today, Christians today, they're saved, but they don't understand what the Christian walk's all about. And Lord, I just pray that there'll be no confusion this morning, Lord, after we're done. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here today that's not saved, Lord, I pray that they will get saved today, Lord, by receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior and calling upon him to forgive them of their sins, Lord, so that they can know, the same as the rest of us, Lord, that heaven is going to be their home one of these days. And Lord, I pray that this morning, Lord, as Christians, that now that we have been saved, Lord, help us to understand truly, Lord, what it is to be a Christian. What do you expect from us, Lord? And help us to be seen plainly this morning. Lord, I pray you'll bless the service this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're in the habit of underlining things in your Bible, I want you to underline verse 6 of the passage this morning. It says, "As ye have therefore received Jesus Christ the Lord," or "Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Now, as I mentioned, there are many believers out there today that are still wondering how to live the Christian life the way God wants them to live the Christian life. No doubt many believers today have just given up trying to live the Christian life. I have actually talked to people today who have claimed to be saved. Now, again, we don't know who really is saved and who isn't. I know I'm saved. If you're saved here today, you know you're saved. But I don't know your heart. God knows your heart. If you're not saved here today, God knows who you are. And you know who you are. If you are saved here today, you know that you're saved. Amen? I can't look at you and say that you're saved or not. I don't know your heart. But either way, we're supposed to, you know, the best thing you can do is just be saved. But there are believers today, or people who profess themselves to be Christians. I have actually met a few of them that came to me and said, you know, I am saved, but I just don't go to church. And one of the reasons I don't go to church is because I just can't live the life that the Christians want me to live. I can't do the things that I'm expected to do. And I'll tell you, one of the problems that I see, folks, is there is this big list of do's and don'ts that Christians have somehow been taught, that you have to do this list of do's and don'ts in life in order to be a Christian. Now, listen, that Bible tells us that there are certain things wrong and there are certain things that glorify God, right? I mean, there are some things that don't glorify him and some things that do glorify him. There are some things that are wrong and some things that are right. And when it comes to those things, we need to make sure we live according to what the Bible tells us to live. Now, that just goes without saying. I mean, the Lord is very clear on what is sin and what is not sin. And then if you say, well, what about this one thing that really never says anything about? The Bible says if you can't do it in faith, it's a sin. So really, you have what you can do with faith, and you have what the Lord has already written in his word, what you can and can't do. But still, that's not the Christian life. Okay, that's things that you learn as you become a Christian. As you grow in the Lord, your faith is going to increase and things are going to change. The way you look at the Word of God is going to be different than the way it was when you first got saved. You know, here a while back, the first Bible that I used, I took notes in it when I first got saved. And I thought, well, boy, I sure would like to transfer those notes over to my new Bible. And then I looked at those notes and I thought to myself, well, I knew all that. Well, yeah, because that's when you're a baby Christian. And as you grow, you start to see the Scripture, the Holy Spirit starts to reveal more to you and more to you in those Scriptures. And have you ever noticed that every time you read the Bible, you always see something a little bit different light than what you saw it before? You always notice things that you never noticed before. That's the Holy Spirit of God revealing certain things to you as you grow as a Christian. And so, but today, people, a lot of Christians, they have a, they've been wrongly told how to live the Christian life because the Bible is very specific on how we are to live the Christian life. And I'll tell you this, it's not a list of do's and don'ts. It's not. Because the truth is that God has really made it very simple to live the Christian life. You know, the Lord has really made everything simple if you think about it. Amen? I mean, think about this. Has there ever been a time in history that is easier to get saved than it is right now? I mean, now think about this, folks. All a person has to do today is to understand that he's a sinner, to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for his sins, was buried, rose again the third day, and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save him. Now that's pretty simple, wouldn't you say? Amen. Nothing hard about that. I mean, you can do that. You can do it privately. You can do it. You can do it out loud. You can do it. You can do it on your knees. You can do it standing there. You can do it sitting in your seat right now. You got to believe. Nothing hard about that. God, listen. The Lord didn't make it hard to be saved. Why? Because he's not willing that any should perish. Amen. He made it easy. He made it easy. And I'll tell you this, not only did he make it easy to be saved, but he made it easy to live the Christian life too. But you know, sometimes we as people like to add a little bit to everything, don't we? I mean, what do we do when it comes to salvation? We like to add to that. We like to say, well, yeah, you got to be saved, but boy, you got to live it. Anybody live it lately? Anybody live as if they deserve to be saved lately? Not me. You can't live it. You never could live it. But yet people will put those restrictions on, oh, you got to be saved, but you got to live it. No, listen, once you're saved, you're going to heaven. And you should try to live it, but you're going to have some problems because you have the flesh. And so there's people today, we like to add things to it. We like to add things to salvation, saying, well, you know, you need to be saved and then you need to be baptized as well. That's adding to something that God has already made easy. We're trying to make it hard. And when it comes to living the Christian life, we have a tendency to do the same thing. We have a tendency to make it harder than the way God intended it to be. You're going to see this morning that to live the Christian life is so easy if you'll just do it God's way. It's easy. And now, the Christian life is not so high that you cannot reach it like some people teach. Any ordinary believer can come to understand how to live the Christian life. You don't need a PhD. You don't need to understand Greek in order to live the Christian life. All you got to be able to do is read, understand, and do what the Bible tells you to do in this passage of Scripture right here. Now, if you look back at verse 3, I want you to see, first of all, that Paul said what Paul says here about this incredible treasure that you're going to get, that you already have if you're saved here this morning. Look, if you would, at verse 3. It says that in Jesus. If there's one thing that I have pounded since I've been here as your pastor, is the phrase in Christ or in Jesus. Amen? If you're saved, you're in Christ. If you're not saved, you're out of Christ. You're in Adam. Okay? Those who are in Christ have everlasting life. Those in Adam die. I don't believe that, Pastor. Okay. Then I'll tell you what. You need to write this down inside your notes somewhere, but you go over to Genesis chapter 5, and it tells you the lineage of Adam. You know what it says there? Adam lived, and he died. His son lived, and he died. His son's son lived, and he died, and he died, and he died, and he died. Genesis chapter 5. You go over to Matthew, and you start reading the lineage of Christ. And you know what you're going to notice? That nowhere in there, Matthew chapter 5, lineage of Christ, does it ever say, and he died. You know why? Because in Christ, you have everlasting life. In Christ, you have everlasting life. So if you're in Christ, you have everlasting life. You say, how do I get there? You got to be saved. You got to call upon the Lord to forgive you of your sins and call upon him and understanding that died, buried, rose again the third day. That's how you get in Christ. And if you have not done that today, you are out of Christ. And if you're out of Christ, when you die, you will face the second death, according to what that Bible says. And so In verse 3, it says, in Jesus, in other words, if you're saved, it says, is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ, we are complete. We don't have to look any further because all treasure of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Christ. Now, why did God hide them? Well, number one, you can't find those treasures unless you're in Christ too. Amen? The other reason that God hid them is because the closer you get to Jesus, the more treasures you'll find as a Christian. How many of you today, as you've grown in Christ, have noticed that you've gotten a little bit more wisdom? Amen? And have you ever noticed that you've gotten a little bit more knowledge? You know, that's the reason that Bible says, for a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's the reason the Bible says, for the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You've got to be saved. You've got to be saved. And so, here, if you're in Christ, that's where all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge is hidden. You know, I once heard a story about how diamond mines were actually found in Africa. You know, today, Africa probably is the biggest diamond producer of all the continents in the world today. But how diamond mines were actually discovered in Africa, I was reading, and it says that one day people saw two young boys playing a game, similar to marbles. But what they were using really wasn't marbles at all. They were using diamonds. And they didn't realize that they were using diamonds. They found a couple of rocks. They're playing sort of like marbles, but they were using diamonds, and somebody had looked down there, and that's what they were using. And they asked them where they found it, and they said, over there, you know, down there. And that's where they discovered these diamond mines. And so, but the point is this, is they had that the diamond, they had the jewel, they had something of great worth, and they didn't even realize that they had it in their hand. May I tell you today, if you're in Christ, you have the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and some Christians don't even realize they have it. They don't even realize that they have wisdom and knowledge. You know, people, they say, I'd like to have more wisdom. Then study your Bible. Do you realize the wisest man who ever lived was Solomon? And you want wisdom? Read the book of Proverbs. Amen? And so, I don't want any Christian to miss out on a blessing that's yours this morning. But the devil will do just about anything he can to try to keep you from getting this treasure of wisdom and knowledge that these verses talk about. Notice it says in verse 4. It says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to rob you of those treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Look at verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. You know what I see in Christianity today? I see a lot of tradition of men. Things that you couldn't find in that Bible with a biggest magnifying glass on the planet. But yet they'll say, this is the way you're supposed to live. This is what the Bible says. And it's not in the Bible. It's traditions of men that they have made to be as the Word of God when it's not. And you know what? That's something that Jesus Christ condemned the Pharisees for doing. Because they were laying traditions of men upon people rather than what the Word of God actually says. And I tell you this, folks, I see that a lot. In fact, so much so that there are Christians today who think that the Christian walk is about how you're dressed and where you go and where you don't go and what you are to look at and what you're not to look at and the way you comb your hair in the morning and how much perfume you put on yourself. Well, aftershave for men. Don't get the idea I put perfume on. But you know what I'm saying. They think that's the Christian life. They think that's the Christian walk. Listen, again, if it's in Scripture, then it's God's Word. If you can't do it in faith, don't do it at all. But don't sit there and think that these lists of do's and don'ts have anything to do with your Christian walk, because it does not. It does not. And I'm going to prove it to you this morning. All right? But beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, because those things are not the wisdom and knowledge that's found in Christ Jesus. That's just man's version of it. And so the devil wants to stop you from finding out what those true blessings you can have in Christ. The devil wants you to think it's absurd that there are treasures in Christ. He doesn't want you to realize that wisdom and knowledge is in Christ. And he wants you to think that there's more out there than what's in Christ. And that's exactly the same thing that he tried to sell Eve on. That there's more out there than what's in Christ. Back in Genesis chapter 3, when speaking of the fruit that Adam and Eve were not supposed to eat of, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, The devil said this. Now remember, God said, if you eat of the fruit, in the day that you eat of it, ye shall die. Now, the devil comes along and he's tempting Eve and he says, for ye shall not surely die. Stop right there. He just called God a liar. He said, for ye shall not surely die. Now watch what he says. He says, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, I will tell you this. In a sense, though, he was telling the truth. He was saying that when you eat this, you're going to get the knowledge of good and evil. And they did. They did. But it says you'll be of the gods. In other words, what he was doing, he was painting a picture to her that there's more out there that's a whole lot better than what God has offered you. There's a whole lot more out there than what's in God, in Christ. And he fell for that. You know, there are a lot of people today that fall for that too. That's the reason they come to church on Sundays and then they go out and live like the world the rest of the time, because they think, oh, there's a whole lot more to it than just living as a Christian. I'm missing out if I live according to the Word of God. I'm missing out. There's so much more out there. That's the same thing that the devil tried to prove to Eve. You know, I tell you this, folks. Those people that go out and get those things that they were never meant to have in this world, they never come back happy. This world will destroy the lives of people. If you don't believe it, read the story of the prodigal son. The world will destroy you and toss you to the side. You want to know where the true treasures are? They're in Christ. Wisdom and knowledge is in Christ. Those are the true treasures. I tell you this, I'd rather have wisdom and knowledge than anything else in this world. Amen? I mean, think about that. Think about how important that is. And so the devil comes up to Eve and he basically says the grass is greener on the other side. And she fell for it. And there's a lot of Christians today that fall for it as well. The devil will try to do that to you. He'll try to tell you that there's more out there than in Christ. The devil will also try to make you think that walking the Lord is something that it isn't. And he'll try to get you to thinking it's acting a certain way. Or just coming to church on Sunday. Or just doing certain things or not doing certain things. And he'll try to get these Christians to set all sorts of rules that people must follow in order to truly walk with the Lord. But the Bible calls that philosophy, vain deceit, and tradition of men. Walking in the Lord has nothing to do with the set of rules and has nothing to do with having certain feelings. I'll tell you another thing I see. A lot of people's beliefs today are based on feelings. There are people today who say, well, you know, I think I can lose my salvation. I just don't feel saved today. Aren't you glad that your salvation is not based on your feelings but based on the Word of God? Hey, listen. God said that whosoever shall believe in him shall have everlasting life. Now, does everlasting mean everlasting? Does that mean it lasts forever? Now listen, if it doesn't last forever, then God didn't tell the truth there. Amen? He said everlasting life. If you're saved, you have everlasting life. You will not die. Amen? Yes, we're going to die physically, but you have everlasting life. You'll live forever in heaven. Amen? And now listen, that's what your salvation is based on, is what the Word of God says. Did you not believe the gospel to get saved? Did you not believe what the Word of God said to be saved? Then why would you quit believing it after you got saved? You believed it. Hey, listen, all I have to do is receive Jesus Christ, believe he died, buried, and rose again the third day, and call upon him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did that because I believed the Word of God. But then after people get saved, they're like, well, I don't know if I'm really saved or not. Well, what happened? Why'd you quit believing the Lord? He said everlasting life, didn't he? He said he'd keep me from falling, didn't he? He says you're going to be in heaven one of these days, doesn't he? Why give up on him? Why all of a sudden think the Word of God is no longer true? It's all true. From Genesis chapter 1 all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, it's all true. Every single word, every single jot and tittle, it's all true. But somehow or another, people today think their walk is something that isn't, and the devil tries to sell that. Now, there are four things I want to show you this morning about your walk with walking the Lord as a believer. And I pray that these things will help you see what the Bible has to say about what your walk in the Lord is all about, what it's all about being a Christian. If you want to know this morning, really, this is how to be a Christian, the Bible tells you exactly how to be a Christian here this morning. And so the first thing we need to understand is when your walk began. He says here that we are to walk in the Lord. Well, when did your walk begin? Well, how many of you understand, you know, when you have babies, that they really can't walk until they do what? Take that first step, right? I mean, Let's face it. You're not walking until you take the first step. I mean, you say, well, that's silly. No, but that's just, you can't get more elementary than that, right? You got to take the first step before you walk. What was your first step? Is when you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the very first step in your Christian walk. Your Christian walk could not have begun until you took the first step and called upon the Lord to save you. What I'm telling you is this, folks. There are people today that teach that all humans are the children of God. It's called the Brotherhood of God that teaches that. They teach that all human beings are the sons of God. That's not what your Bible teaches. You need to read the book of John, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, for whom it received Jesus Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Listen, you are not the sons of God until you are saved. And listen, people today say, well, we're all sons of God. Well, if we're all sons of God, then everybody can go into heaven. There's no reason to witness to anybody then. Listen, if we're all sons of God, then there are no children of disobedience then. We're not all sons of God. Only those that are saved are sons of God. And only those that are saved could possibly walk in Christ. Amen? If you're out of Christ, you're not saved. If you're in Christ, you are saved. So only those who are saved can take that very first step, that very first step in their Christian walk, and that is to trust in Jesus Christ. Now, there are some people today that are in churches all over the world today that are mimicking believers. There are people today that come to church, they're not saved. That's the reason in this church you will see me always tell the gospel on Sunday morning, tell you how to be saved, because, listen, I'm not fool enough to think that on Rapture Day that there's going to be some people left in churches all across America. People that are mimicking Christians. People that are acting like Christians should act. They're combing their hair like Christians should comb their hair. They're wearing what Christians are supposed to wear. They're not going where Christians are not supposed to go. They're not doing what Christians are, the things that they shouldn't do. And they're not going to these places. They're keeping with those rules. But may I tell you, those rules won't save anybody. They won't save anybody. Now, listen. There are people all across America today that's coming to church mimicking Christians and living right, but they're lost. And that's the reason I give an invitation on Sunday mornings. That's the reason I give an invitation to give the gospel. Just in case somebody in here are one of those Christians that's playing church. Now, I pray that's not true. I pray that everybody in here today is truly saved, have called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and knows beyond a shadow of a doubt they're going to heaven one of these days. If you do not know that, you can know that. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have everlasting life. Yes, you can know if you're going to heaven. You can absolutely know that. If you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going there. I hope everybody here is saved today. But there are Christians all over America today that are mimicking Christians. They serve in churches. They try to live right, but they never actually trusted Jesus Christ. And some may not even be told how to be saved. How many of you understand that there are some churches today that they don't even preach the gospel? The largest church in America today. You haven't heard the gospel preached in that church in 10 years. But the very first step a person must take in his Christian walk is to be saved. Believing that Jesus Christ died, that he was buried and rose again the third day, and call upon him to be your Savior. That's how your Christian walk began, by taking that very first step. All right? When your walk in Christ first began, when you first took that very first step, being saved. But then, the next thing you don't understand about your walk with the Lord is the boundary of your walk. Now, there is a boundary of our walk. Let's just say that if I told you this morning that you're only to walk within this church, this church is your boundary. That would mean as long as your feet stayed in this church, listen, as long as your feet stayed in this church, inside this church, then that would be your boundary, right? You'd be staying in bounds. Now, we're told here in verse 6 that we are to walk in the Lord. Now, the natural man is not going to like that very much. The natural man who's not saved, who knows nothing about Christ, who knows nothing about true wisdom and knowledge, that person's not going to like that very much. And he's going to say to himself, well, why should I want to be like you bunch of Christians? Y'all are so limited. You can't do anything. I mean, you can't have any real fun out here like I can have. Why do I need to be hemmed in? That looks so dull and boring just to be confined to the one area being like that. And there's so many more wonderful things to see and experience Well, if you're one of those people who believe that, then you don't understand what verses 2 and 3 say. It says that their hearts might be comforted. How many of you like to have comforted hearts? You know, I tell you what, a lot could be said for peace. Amen. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, through the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Listen, folks, there is nothing worth having outside of Jesus Christ. Nothing worth having. You know, I tell you this, I look at the world today, and I'm sure I'm glad I'm in Christ. I sure am glad I'm in Christ. Jesus will supply all of your needs. Jesus is the boundary of your walk. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know if you're outside of the boundary? Well, turn, if you would, over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. The truth of the matter is this. When in your Christian walk, I'm just going to go ahead and let the cat out of the bag, but there are going to be some Christians that are going to look at you and judge you. How many of you know, probably most of you have already faced that already. Some Christian has looked at you and judged you for something that you did or something that you wore or places that you ate. Hey, listen, I judge people all the time if they eat carrots. That's of the devil. That is the unclean thing. Raw carrots are an unclean thing. That and root beer and things like that. Amen. Okay? But there are going to be Christians that judge you. But what I want you to see here, that if you are not living the Christian walk, if you're not walking in Christ like you're supposed to, it's not the people judging you that's going to let you know that. It's God. All right, now look here in Colossians chapter 3, it says in verse 15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let's talk about in Christ. Called in one body, be thankful. All right, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You know, in the sport of wrestling, now I'm not talking about the fake stuff where, you know, people jump off and they do the flying suplex and all that stuff in a ring. I'm talking about the real wrestling like you see in high schools. Now, that's the real stuff. Anybody ever wrestled before? I'll tell you something, that is a very brutal sport. I've never been more tired than when I wrestled. And I didn't wrestle really like I was supposed to. I just like wrestled with the guys in school. And I mean, you're talking about running out of breath quick. Brutal thing. But you know, in real wrestling, not the fake stuff, but the real wrestling, you have two wrestlers here, and both wrestlers have the goal of taking the other wrestler and either pinning him to the mat for a three count, or for them to get points. Okay, and certain things are worth points. Like if I'm wrestling Walt here, and Walt takes me down to the ground, that's a point for him. All right. So you have the two wrestlers, and you have the referee. Referee's the one with the whistle. And when Walt takes me off my feet and throws me on my back, he's going to look at Walt and go, "Point! That's one." Right. And then if I get back up and I throw Walt down, I look at me and go, "Point! That was one for you." And you can go back and forth, and whoever wins by points, or if Walt pins me, then obviously I've lost. So you have the two wrestlers, you have the referee, and then you have a big old circle on the ground. Huge circle. Now here's the problem with that circle. Those wrestlers, when they wrestle, must stay within that circle. That's the rules. Gotta stay within that circle. If one of those wrestlers were to get outside the circle, whether he be pushed out the circle or we get outside the circle, if his feet goes outside the boundaries of that circle, you know what you're going to hear? Out of bounds. Out of bounds. That's what you're going to hear. Why? The second the person was out of bounds, the whistle sounded. May I tell you, whenever you step out of bounds with God, he's going to blow a whistle on you too. You know what that whistle sounds like? It's the lack of peace in your heart. How many of you understand what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the peace of God in your heart? Listen, when you step out of bounds with the Lord, it's not the other Christians judging you that is going to let you know about it. God's going to let you know about it. God's going to be the one to blow the whistle. God's going to be the one to say, hey, you know what, that peace you had yesterday? We're not in fellowship right now, so there's no peace. The moment you step out, God will let you know about it. He'll take away that peace. And folks, that's how we know that we're out of bounds. We must stay within the bounds of our Christian walk. Listen, I'm not talking about staying saved. Once in Christ, you're never going to get out of Christ. But within Christ in your Christian walk, there are certain boundaries that God has set. And once you break those boundaries, God will blow the whistle on you, and you will lose that peace that you once had. And when you lose that peace that you once had, you know what you need to do? Get back in bounds. In other words, if you're allowing sin in your life, get rid of the sin. Start living the way God wants you to live. Get back in bounds. And guess what happens? The peace returns. The peace returns. It's not, listen, your Christian walk is not about living according to my rules or to anybody else's rules. It's according to living to God's rules. That's how you stay in bounds. So when it comes to the Christian walk, we need to understand that our walk began when we first got saved. And we need to understand that our walk has certain boundaries. And then also, we need to understand that there is a continuation of our walk expected. In Colossians chapter 2, look if you would at verse 6. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Now, when you read these words, you get the idea that the Lord wants you to continue your Christian walk. He's saying, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. He wants you to continue walking as a Christian, right? We continue to walk in the Lord as a Christian. We took our first step when we first got saved, and we're supposed to continue to walk in our Christian life. That's what he wants us to do. That's when he said that we're to so walk ye in him. He doesn't want you he didn't want you to stop walking. Now we don't want to listen. We don't keep walking to stay saved. We keep walking in our Christian walk because we are saved. That's the whole thing. Everything you do is because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And one step has to follow the next step in order for you to be qualified as walking. Amen? If I don't take the first step, and then the second step, and then the third step, nobody can look at me and say if I'm walking. If I'm standing like this right here, am I walking? No. What's happened? I've come to a standstill, haven't I? Now, maybe I've already taken that first step, but I just stopped walking after that. I know how to walk, but I'm no longer walking. I'm standing still. The Bible tells us that we're to continue walking in the Lord. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you're not taking one step after another and you're standing still there, it's because of one or two things have happened in your life. That is, either you have fallen and you're no longer walking and you're backslidden, or you've come to a standstill in your Christian life. No, you used to serve the Lord, but you don't serve the Lord anymore. You used to do things for the Lord. You used to read your Bible more, but you don't do that anymore. You used to pray more, a lot, but you don't pray a lot anymore. As believers, we must continue our walk in the Lord. Now, how are we to continue our walk in the Lord? How are we to take that first step, and then the second step, and then the third step, and then the fourth step to where we're walking the Lord? How are we to do that? Well, I tell you what the Bible says here. The Bible says that we are to walk. Look what it says there in that passage. It says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Folks, that's the key right there. You want to know how to have a Christian walk the way the Lord wants you to walk? You do it the same way you did when you got saved. You say, "What in the world are you talking about, Pastor? You done went Fruit Loops on me." Now listen. The day you got saved, what did you do? You realized that you had sinned. Come short of the glory of God, right? And what did you do? You said, "Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, I'm going to put my faith in you to wash away my sins." Amen? That's what you did when you got saved. Now, that's what saved you for eternity. When it comes to the sins that will condemn you to hell, the Lord forgave you of your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. Therefore, when it comes to the condemnation of the soul, you are clean as a whistle, been washed white as snow by the blood of Jesus Christ. But how many of you understand that flesh still sins? Now, what are we going to do when that flesh sins? Listen, when that flesh sins, it's because you let it sin. In other words, when it comes time to where you can either sin or not sin, The Holy Spirit of God was telling you, don't do it. You know the Bible says you shouldn't do it. But you know what you did? You looked at it, you were tempted, and you said, okay, I'm going to do it. Now, when you did that, you gave in to the flesh. Now, do you think the Lord knows more about us than anybody else? You think the Lord doesn't already know that we have sinful flesh? You think the Lord already knows that we're going to mess up from time to time? He already knows that. And the Lord, you'll notice that the Lord doesn't condemn people for the sins that they did. Christians, he doesn't condemn people for the sins they did. He doesn't chastise his children for the sins they commit. You know what he chastises his children for? For what they do after they commit the sins. They could either do one of two things. They could either say, nope, I'm not going to confess anything before the Lord. Or they can do pretty much the same thing they did on that first step. Not for salvation, but for fellowship with God. If you harbor some sin, you're going to break fellowship with God, and all of a sudden that peace is gone. God has blown the whistle. Toot! You're out of bounds. Now what are you supposed to do? As ye have ever received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. The moment you were saved, you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Lord, forgive me of those sins. Lord, this is a sin I committed. And Lord, I'm going to trust you to get me to heaven. Okay, well, that took care of your salvation. But now that you're saved, what are you supposed to do? Whatever you sin. The same thing. Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I'm the one who did it. Lord, I'm going to trust you to make things right. Lord, I'm trying to make things right. I want to get back in fellowship with you. And Lord, I'm just going to trust that you wash away this sin for the sake of fellowship. Folks, that is what the Christian life is all about. That's what it is. You're going to mess up from time to time. It's about what are you going to do about it after you mess up. So walk ye in him. Now, that is what the Christian life is all about. It says, as ye have therefore received Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. Now, I'll prove it to you. Look over here at 1 John. Turn if you would over to 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 5. Now, remember, I want you to read the context of this very closely with me, because there are people today that will try to tell you this is talking about salvation here in 1 John, when it's not. Listen, here in the book of 1 John, he already talks to them about being little children. He's talking to them in the context, he's talking to saved people here. And he's talking to saved people who are already the children of God, who have already had their sins forgiven when it comes to what's going to send a person to hell. But yet, they still sin, the same as you and I do. In 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 5. It says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, in other words, if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, I want you to pay attention here. He's talking about fellowship with God, and he's talking about walking in darkness. Let me ask you something. If you're in Christ, if you're in the boundaries while you're walking in Christ, could you possibly be walking in darkness? No. That's talking about a Christian who has not lost their salvation, but a Christian who has gotten out of bounds. In other words, it's not the sin that he's talking about, the breaking the fellowship of God. It's the walking in darkness. In other words, you committed a sin, but you didn't make it right. You just kept on harboring the sin and kept on doing the sin without ever confessing it to the Lord. That's what breaks the fellowship, okay? And it says here, and declaring to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, hey, that's in bounds. That's in our boundaries. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's us and God having fellowship. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You know what that means? That means everybody here in this room, including me, we sin every day, whether we want to admit that or not. Okay? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the word is not in us. What is that saying? That's saying, For as ye received Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. Your Christian life, folks, is not about a list of do's and don'ts. Now, I'm just going to tell you, there is a list of do's and don'ts. But that list is found in the Bible and found according to what you can do in faith. I had a person come up to me one time and say, do you think it's the Lord's will? I'm really thinking about being a bartender. You think it's the Lord's will for me to be a bartender? Well, you know, the Bible says, woe unto the man that giveth his brother strong drink. So according to the Bible, what does that mean? No. There are boundaries. Amen? Do you think it's God's will for me to go up here and rob the bank? Give 10% to the church. No! There are boundaries. Amen? Certainly there are boundaries. Listen, there are some people that say, you know what, I just don't feel good about going in that place right there. Or I don't feel good about listening to this. Okay, that's your boundary. Don't cross that boundary. Because if you cross that boundary and you can't do it by faith, listen, you just cross the boundary and what the Lord's going to do? Tweet! You're out of bounds. But when you get out of bounds, what are you supposed to do? Confess it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've sinned against you, Lord. I did something that I knew. I knew I couldn't do in good faith, Lord, and I did it, and I just feel horrible about it, Lord. I just don't have any peace in my heart now. Lord, I'm not in fellowship with you, Lord. I did it, Lord. Forgive me of that sin. Isn't that very similar to what you did when you first got saved? As ye receive Jesus Christ, so walk ye in him. Folks, that is the Christian walk. That is the Christian walk. And isn't that simple? I mean, think about this. The Lord says the easiest way you ever get saved, just call upon me and I'll forgive you of your sins. Okay, now that's over with. How about the Christian walk? How hard is that? Okay, just call upon me and I'll forgive you of your sins. Amen? Just confess it to him. He already knows you did it anyway. You may as well confess it to him. That is the Christian walk. It's not as hard as people try to make it. And I'll tell you this. If you walk in the Lord and you keep on living the Christian life the way the Lord wants you to live the Christian life, when you do mess up and you're going to, when you do mess up and you confess with the Lord and you keep a short account with God. I mean, folks, listen. Is it safe to say that we mess up every day? Then don't you think that we should at least be praying to the Lord every day that, Lord, I did this today, and Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I shouldn't have done this today, and Lord, I'm sorry. To stay in fellowship with the Lord. That's what the whole Christian life is about. That's what it's about, folks. Nothing hard. Now, my question for you this morning is this. Have you taken the first step? As a person here today, you come to church, and listen, when it comes to coming to church, that's not what's going to save you at all. It's not going to save you. Listen, the thought of going to church, some people think, well, if I go to church, I'm doing the Christian walk. Or some people may say, well, you know, as long as I dress a certain way, this is how a Christian's supposed to walk. Or maybe if I just make sure I don't say any dirty words, or if I don't do this, if I don't smoke, drink, or chew, or don't go to those who do. If I don't do those things, then that's a Christian walk. Or maybe your thought this morning is maybe being baptized is part of the Christian walk. Well, all these things are good. I mean, you ought not be cussing. You ought not be, you know, doing things you ought not be doing. We know that. But none of these things have to do anyway with your Christian walk, because you can do all those things and never be saved. Have you ever thought about that? The very things that some Christians today will look at you and judge you for not doing, do you realize if you didn't do those things, you could still be lost as a golf ball in high weeds? Why is it we walk around and we want to say, now you need to be living like this, and you need to do this, and you need to do that, and don't you go here, and don't you go there? Why do we do that to other people when those things would never save them to begin with? The question is are you saved? That's my question for you this morning. Have you taken that first step? Or are you just acting like a Christian this morning? I've come to church. I've done my good deed. Not going to get you to heaven. I've been baptized for it. Not going to get you to heaven. I wore a suit this morning and a tie. Not going to get you to heaven. Only one thing will get you to heaven, that's receiving Jesus Christ. Have you taken the first step? And if you have taken the first step, let me ask you, are you still walking in the Lord? Are you still walking within the boundaries of the Lord? Are you still taking step by step by step every day, walking in the Lord, confessing your sins, knowing you messed up, but confessing your sins and continuing to say, Lord, I believe that sin is all me. Nobody calls me to do it, Lord. It's all on me, Lord. Please forgive me for the sake of fellowship. Step after step after step. Or have you just stopped walking altogether? Or maybe you've fallen down and you're backslidden because you're refusing to take the next step and ask the Lord to forgive you for the sake of fellowship. Where are you at in your Christian walk? Let's stand.